Welcome to the Mystic Bit Show. We are a live stream social media show and podcast with topics spanning psychic development, spirituality, creativity, and more. Hi, my name is Ingrid H. Turner. I am a mystic, a poet, a nomad, and I'm here to work with a very special kind of human. I'm here to connect with the misfits, the healers, the black sheep of the family, artists, and other outrageously creative humans. You are here to break the system and usher in a new paradigm, and my job is to help you do that by helping you reconnect with your intuition so you trust yourself again and you blaze that new trail, being of service through the vehicle of your passion. This episode you're about to listen to was recorded on my Facebook page. You can find that at facebook.com/IngridHTurnerSpirit. I go live on that account every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So please follow me there so you can be a part of the Mystic Bitch live audience, participate in Q&A, and get a reading from me. Again, welcome, beloved. Welcome back to the Mystic Bitch Show by beautiful Monica Carlos. Welcome, welcome, welcome. For those of anybody who hasn't binged this entire show, if you go back to season one, episode two, I got to interview the beautiful Monica Carlos about her book, Transforming the Mother Wound. That resulted in me and her getting to meet in Beverly Hills to go to the fucking Grammys where she could showcase her book. And it was such a splash. And real quick, before we get started on this next segment of the interview, can you give everybody an update on where you're at with that book?
Yeah, my book just got picked up by Hay House Publishers.
Yes, it is so well deserved. Before this was a book, this was a course. I went through your Healing the Mother Wound course. It was incredible. The book is incredible. It's got an accompanying journal, folks. It is available on Amazon. The link to purchase it is in the description. So go get it and absorb it and love it. And this is just for anybody who has any kind of wounding or frustration with the maternal relationship. And we're not going to talk about the mother wound today, though, because you can go to season one, episode two for all of that, and you can read the damn book. But I brought Monica back onto the Mystic Bit Show because we alluded to this in the first interview, but this bears an interview all by itself. Monica is also the author of the Dark Pool series. This is a very special series. The genre is erotica, fantasy,
erotic occultism.
All of that. And we were just talking about our astrology charts before we jumped on here today, and talking about the fifth house. And the fifth house is about creativity, and Monica has Scorpio on her fifth house with about a freaking dozen planets in there, right? And like the sun, the moon, Mercury,
Neptune
all hanging on there. So you can, I mean, if you know anything about astrology or anything about like Scorpio, it's like you kind of know, like, she takes it all the way. Now, I have gotten through book one of the Dark Pool trilogy so far. I am yet to read. Okay, Dark Pool is the first one.
Yeah.
Oh shit, what's the trilogy called? I messed that up.
It's the Dark Pool trilogy.
Oh, it is the Dark Pool. Okay, and then okay, good. I was like, what? So I did the book one. I have to read two and three now, but let's talk a little bit about like what that book is, my darling, how it came to you, and then the really juicy stuff, especially for our audience, those of us who are listening and are really interested in the occult and also channeling, psychic, intuition, you know, how, just tell us a little more about this, how this came to you and where it comes from.
Wonderful. So one day I was minding my own business, sitting at my computer, and I wrote a lot more poetry about 20 years ago than I do now. Anyway, so I was writing a poem which was kind of reflective of the life that I wanted to lead. And it was basically a poem about living in the wilderness, several lovers, you know, that sort of thing.
And Scorpio. Lots of it.
And when I finished writing it, I kind of looked at it and I thought to myself, this is a book. Like, I just written a poem, but I could see that the book was in there, but I didn't know what that actually meant. I had the thought, but I didn't know what it meant. Mm-hmm. But right after I had that thought, I had, it's really difficult to explain, but it was kind of like an energy or a presence that I felt in the room with me. And I felt, you know, how people say, you know, they hear spirit talking to them or whatever. It wasn't really audible. It was just something that I felt. But, you know, then you kind of translate it into words.
Yeah.
And I was feeling that I was going to receive the story. It was just going to come through.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. Another day, I just sat down and started writing the story. I didn't have to think up names of the characters. I didn't have to think up locations. I didn't have to think up plot. You know how people say, well, when you write a story, you kind of figure out what the beginning is, the middle and the end.
Yeah.
Then you work out the details in between. And then you kind of see authors, they have like big, you know, things on the yeah. wall, sticky notes and whatever.
Yeah. Story. Yeah.
I literally wrote each chapter having no idea what the chapter was going to be about. The story just unfolded. And each chapter was a complete surprise to me. Like, I knew that it was coming through me. I felt super connected to the characters. But as time went on, I came to understand that my muse was channeling this through me, and my personal circumstances in life, my proclivities, my sexuality, my religious upbringing, and then defecting from that religious, you know, upbringing, mm-hmm. all the things that were part of my life were just the right things for me to bring this story through.
Right.
I also knew that if I didn't bring it through, it was going to go away, and that I had to stay with it.
Ooh, you are touching on so much good mm-hmm. stuff that I've learned as well through my own channeling experience. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm opening to that muse that you're talking about that's going to bring that through, because I'm a really creative person too. And I'm so excited watching you. Like I said before, you are so inspiring to me in this. But when we channel, like, something that I say all the time is, like, we always bring through spirit through the lens of our perspective, right? Spirit, it's like spirit chooses us because we're the right channel for that message at that time. So knowing that your experience is lending itself to being birthing spirit through in whatever way it wants to come through. And what you're talking about is you're channeling spirit. You're channeling. I think we had a conversation one time, tell me if this is valid, where it was almost like you were channeling something that was happening on another dimension. Like, yeah. It wasn't made up. It's actually happening, and you're pulling it through into a story in this creation. Is that in this
yeah.
version of reality?
Yeah. And actually, my partner did say to me, these characters are alive in another dimension. You're just bringing them to Earth and making them real in this dimension. Yeah. So yeah. It was really easy for me to connect with, you know, like, writers say that every character in their book is another part of their personality or part yes. of, you know, part of themselves.
Yeah.
And I really felt that was true, that I was channeling the different parts of my personality. But at the same time, these were actual beings that were living this story, perhaps in another dimension or another reality. And I was just bringing their story to paper.
Right. So when I relate that to spirit guides, for example, when I'm teaching people or talking about spirit guides, I always explain to people, spirit guides are like a user-friendly interface with the divine, right? Yes, it's a real being. It's also you, a part of you, or a way that you can, a projection of yourself so that you can relate to spirit and have that conversation with the universe, because in these human bodies, we're not actually capable of grokking that, of bringing that through. And it sounds like it's like you have a similar understanding of your characters. Yeah. They are real beings, but they are also like a projection, mm-hmm. so that the universe can speak to you and speak through you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's not really an easy concept to explain. And no. Sometimes people have a lot of resistance to that.
Yeah.
But
no, yeah, no, I know. As I've talked about spirit guides, it's like, yeah, no. I mean,
and it can feel very real. For instance, sometimes I would get big downloads while I was in my car. Mm-hmm. I had like a trigger where I would see a black a big black pickup truck, somebody driving a big black pickup truck. One of the characters in my book also drives one of those. Every time I would see one on the road, I would feel like my spirit guide slamming into my reality and start downloading stuff for me. I'd be like, okay, I'm driving, it's winter time. Like I don't have a paper and I don't have a pen, you know?
Yeah.
But there were certain places and certain times and certain things that I saw that really brought my spirit guide in. But I also knew that it was a part of me that was opening.
Yes. You know,
that was like, oh, okay, I'm manifesting this now, I'm manifesting these words.
Right, right. You're lining up with the words, like vibrationally attuning to the words, and then they come through. I always say that creativity, whether it's writing or painting or poetry or woodwork or whatever, cooking, you know, it's the original channeling from divine spirits, how we first kind of brought the divine through. Let me back up a little bit. You said you knew when you first received, your muse first showed up. Was it one of these characters that showed up first? Is that
how it was? Yeah, it was Aiden.
Okay,
yeah.
So Aiden, who's a main character in the story, showed up, made himself visible to you, known to you. And you knew that if you didn't write this down and make the agreement and the commitment to bring it through, this was going to go away. Talk a little bit more about that.
So
how did you know?
So, and I don't know how I knew this exactly, because I hadn't really explored. This was quite a while ago when that first poem came through.
And how long ago now?
I think the poem came through 18 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So at that time, I wasn't as far down my spiritual path. And so I wasn't really quite cognizant of what all these things meant that I was feeling and that were manifesting in my life. But I did on some elemental level know that I had opened a portal by writing, by committing first to writing that poem, like allowing that inspiration to come through. I had committed to something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew that like there was a, like a temperamental strand of frequency that I needed to grasp, and that if I didn't grasp it and if I didn't engage with it and I didn't commit to it, that it was going to pass me by, because I felt like I needed to work with it and I needed to put more things down on paper to make it physical. And then once the universe kind of knew, okay, she's committed to this, more is coming through. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just like with any other thing, if we want to manifest something, we imagine it, and then we know we want it, and mm-hmm. it starts coming towards us, we start magnetizing it.
Yeah.
But if we're not committed to that, it'll just start backing away again. You know, like it's this kind of, do you know what I mean? Like this kind of.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. It's a vibrational alignment. It's like you have to get. You mm-hmm. want something, then a desire, that pull of desire is an indication of like, here's an opportunity to expand your frequency,
mm-hmm.
right? That's that feeling of desire that we have. Ooh, that longing. And then that push pull comes when you manage, you balance the desire, sort of the movement towards your desire with the the resistance, the tension that comes with it, sort of like balancing this tension. It sounds like that's what you're experiencing. It's like this longing, committing to it, and then allowing it to come to you, your commitment grounding you in and stabilizing and keeping you still so that it can make its way to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yummy, yummy, yeah. Yummy. Mm. Yeah. You know, Paramahansa Yogananda, who is the man who brought yoga and meditation from India to the United States mm-hmm. back in the 1920s. Mm-hmm. He said that no thoughts are ours. Nothing is ours. Nothing originates mm-hmm. from our brain. We pluck these things out from the yeah. universe. And I have actually seen this over and over again in my own life where, and I'm sure you've seen it too. It's like you have an idea and then you don't do anything about it. And you go, that's a cool idea, but it doesn't really, like, you don't do anything about it for whatever reason. And then you see somebody else has the same idea at around the same time, mm-hmm. and then they actually do something with it. When I started the Bhava Spiritual Mission back in 2017, I grabbed hold of it. I put it down on paper and I made that commitment. And I can't tell you how many messages I got where people were like, I was going to do that. I was going to start a church. I had that mm-hmm. same idea. That was just, it was in the collective. And I grabbed it and went, I like that one. And I remember the first time it happened to me, I was about 4 years old. And I remember, I just remember being outside and thinking, you know, it'd be a really good name for a raspberry drink. Razzle Dazzle. Razzle Dazzle. That would be great. And then I went on. And then a few years later, I saw Razzle Dazzle in the store. Now, when I first had that idea, I was 4 years old or something. I couldn't read. There's no way I would know that that was there. You know what I mean? And then somebody picked that up and went, great idea, Razzle Dazzle. You know? So that's really true that like these inspirations come to us. They're not really ours. They're coming through us and we get to grab hold of it if we want to. But you got to want to.
And the thing is, I don't feel like the universe is going to push us into anything.
No,
we're going to do it or we're not going to do it. And that's fine because someone else is going to bring it through in the right timing, you know. And I do notice that, you know, that there will be like pockets of the planet where different people are getting the same idea.
Right.
And people are either running with it or they're not running with it. And then later, some people are saying, I did have that thought. You know,
right. But I think
it's just really important for us to listen to that, you know, to be present for that, to see what's coming through, but also to have the intuition of, is this right for me?
It's not always. Yeah. It's not always right for us. And that is perfectly okay. Sometimes you're just open. And when I'm teaching intuition development, a lot of times people, when especially in the beginning of their journey, they can get really stuck on like, but I had this intuitive hit. It has to mean something. I heard a voice. It has to mean something. I'm like, not necessarily.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're just open. It's like the refrigerator's over here whirring, but I'm not paying attention to its ambient noise. But if it makes a clunk, I'm happy. Whoa. Okay. Back to you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So talk a little bit more about, can you talk a little bit without giving too much away, of course, the meat of the content of the book? Like, what is this bringing through? What have you birthed with these books?
Okay. So there were several things that I really, really, really wanted to bring through. One was for people to be able to live authentically. So, and because the book is an erotic fiction, I was really focusing on people being clear for themselves, not for anybody else and not for their lover, but just for themselves, to be clear about their sexuality and to have the confidence to explore their sexuality and be able to like live that sexuality, knowing that it was like with fearless authenticity, you know? And the other thing that I was really interested in was to kind of marry spirituality and sexuality and creativity. And it was really this triangle of
It's like those are all just juicy energies that just as soon as you said that, it's like they just fit right together, don't they? And we don't think about that.
So I really thought about that. How is my sexuality my creativity? How is my creativity my spirituality? And then it just, you can just follow that triangle and see how well they fit together. And so it was really born of my desire. I was just kind of coming out as a bisexual woman. Around the time that I wrote that poem, it was like because I sent it to Elephant Journal to be published, and it was the first thing I had published.
Wow. This was like a before and after moment.
So, you know, then people read it and then they were like cluing in, oh yeah, she's talking about herself and about her sexuality and how she wants to live her life. And so then, you know, because the story was so very much channeled and I didn't really think a lot of it through. It was interesting to me to discover myself through the book and to see the different aspects of myself through it. But basically the story, do you want to tell me what the storyline is or?
Yeah, tell us what the storyline is.
Okay. The storyline is about a woman who has completely demolished a relationship by honoring her sexuality and then being honest with her partner about who she was and how she wanted to live her life. And her partner was devastated and said, that's it, we're done. We're not going to talk about this. I need monogamy. I need whatever. And so because she hadn't been honest with him at the beginning of the relationship about who she was, he was devastated by that. He just wanted that honesty of, you could have told me at the beginning.
Yeah.
And she had been afraid to tell him at the beginning. And also, you know, as we go along in relationships, we're also discovering ourselves, and we might not know that this is part of us at the beginning of a relationship. So anyway,
yeah, very true.
She retreats to the wilderness. She buys a little cabin. She goes to live there by herself and feels like maybe relationships are not a thing for her. Maybe she's just going to be a solitary. She was a practicing witch. So she thought, I'm just going to be a solitary witch. This is my safety. This is where I can live without being scrutinized or criticized. The only problem was there was a neighbor.
Neighbors. Unruly neighbors.
Yeah. And the neighbor was exactly the person that she was looking for. It was kind of a man who was very much a Renaissance man, but he was a very mature person in relationships. But he was already in love with somebody. Anyway, so as the story progresses, these two realize that they've had more than one life together.
Mm.
And so the book kind of goes back and forth between their life now as they start to explore a relationship and as they start to explore a life that they had in the past and why there is this, seems to be this jagged edge. There seems to be a person or something that is in the way of their relationship. And they're finding it out through living their life now and exploring the life in the past.
Oh, I'm all reinvigorated.
Yeah.
to read the books again. Now I'm thinking I'm going to like reread the first one and continue going.
Yeah. And so
that's great. You know,
their sexuality is really, really unbridled. They're very unapologetic about their sexuality. And it is a very erotic book. Like, I'm not really hiding anything. There's
it's all out there in the open. This is what we're doing. You know, fair warning, if you know, like, be prepared to be taken all the way into the ecstatic, passionate throes of the story. It will take you there.
And I always knew that it was a trilogy. Like, I always knew that I couldn't fit the story into one book.
Right.
And then when I was done the third book,
and these are all three thick books, how was the page, the word books, count? Yeah.
This is the second one, the Raven and the
Aspen King. Raven. Oh, so the first one's called The Dark Pool. The second is The Raven and the Aspen King. And what's the third one?
The Wilderness Years.
The Wilderness Years. Gorgeous covers too.
Thank you. Yeah, and then when I finished, the third one, I left it open. I could write another one if I really wanted to. I ended it, but there is an opening.
Okay, there's a little back door there. How long did it take you to complete these three books?
I wrote a book a year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was like start to finish, like starting on like day one, and then by the end of the year, you had it edited, packaged, and published? No.
No.
Yes, no. Okay. So you got down on paper in a year.
Well, you know, the thing is that I feel like my gift is really in the writing, but then... Yes. Having the, like, I was trying to think about, I sent it to an editor, had it edited professionally. And then the editor said to me, nobody's going to publish you because it's a trilogy. So you should have written, why don't you put this project aside and write like one book and then send it to a publisher? And I was like, well, fuck no.
That's dumb.
This is what I've written. This is it. This is the time. So I decided to self-publish. And that was a journey because I needed to learn about self-publishing.
Oh my God. It's such a tangled, been there. Yeah. Still doing
it.
There
was a bit of a detour around the self-publishing, but I got it down.
Yeah.
And people loved it. I had so many women writing to me saying, I wasn't sure if I should read this because of the explicit sexuality and there's BDSM in there, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And so people were like, I might get triggered by that because I have this sexual wound.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, you know what? This healed my wound. I read it and I was done.
That's okay. As you were talking about this, I kept going like, Monica, you could be doing like coaching for sexuality and sexual healing with women. Mm-hmm. Like that is so very much in your wheelhouse. I don't think you want to do that. You want to write, but you're already doing it with your writing. And sexual trauma is so prevalent with I mean, many people in the world. Yeah. I mean, because we are so, I believe it's because we are so sexually repressed. We don't, you know, and so it starts coming out in weird ways, wound up in power and powerlessness. But I remember speaking to a woman who was part of a plant medicine community that I was a part of as well. So she was another one on the spiritual path. And she was telling me like that her experience of BDSM and, you know, just it, she told me the story of it breaking her and but breaking her open and healing some major trauma and wounds, sexual wounds that she had been carrying. And she was just open and raw and vulnerable and free during this very intense, you know, BDSM experience. She was like tied up and gagged, you know, and I'll never forget her talking about that and telling that story, because that was maybe the first time that I started to put that healing, put that together around sexual healing. And it's not something that I've explored a whole lot of, and that might even be a whole other interview to do with you down the line to talk about like sexual healing, because I think it's really important. And I think a lot of people and you have to tell me if you agree with this, but you know, sexual repression is a thing because of because of hurt and trauma, and also a real lack of trust with in ourselves and with each other. Not being able to trust each other in that space as well.
Yeah, I heard. I didn't hear. No, yes, I did hear. It was somebody. It was somebody on Instagram talking about how they. I mean, it was a trigger for them. The whole BDSM thing was a trigger for them, and they said, "This is wrong. Nobody should be doing this." You know, blah blah blah. And you know, I could really see how a power dynamic for this person was a problem.
Right.
And so I mentioned in the comments that, you know, BDSM doesn't work without extreme trust.
Right.
Like there's not trust and there's not, complete, like whatever the word is, collusion as to what's to happen and how it's going to happen, and trust that those boundaries are not going to be broken. Of course, it's going to be traumatic. There has to be trust in that. You know, and of course there's people who are not going to honor that, but most people I feel like in the BDSM community,
that's important,
they understand that whole trust dynamic and the power exchange and maybe they are working something out, who knows. You know, I'm not in everybody's bedroom
or head or heart or whatever.
So that's a big part of the book as well. But mainly, I really wanted to bring forth a character or male characters that showed up for their partners and that weren't going to play games. Because we have so many books where we have, not that these aren't bad boys in their own way, because who doesn't love a bad boy? But
who doesn't love a bad boy, especially a reformed bad boy? Those are the best kind of bad boys right there. Oh, you used to be really bad. You're much better now.
You look bad. But they're like, they're there. They're committed. They're there for their partners and they're not going to play games.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to bring that out because I think like we need that. We need those kind of partnerships and relationships.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wow. I mean, are you aware of any other books like this? Have you come across any that are kind of similar in the vein that you're doing that you feel?
I mean, I have seen other, there are other authors that I read that I find are excellent in bringing together those kinds of sexual relationships.
Yeah.
But they're lacking there's a big spiritual aspect to these books.
Yes.
And a lot of witchcraft.
Because
of the triangle. So I feel like I've just created a new genre. I don't know.
Maybe I think you have too. I'm not really aware of anything out there like this. I mean, you know, so I agree. And that's why I think it's so fucking incredible what you're doing and why I want to talk about it. Now, let me ask you, we've talked a little bit, you touched on the fact that a lot of women had written you messages after reading this book, talking about their healing journey going through this experience, which really just demonstrates unequivocally to me that this is spirit infused material. Mm-hmm. Because any piece of art, any piece of writing that is infused with spirit has a deeply healing impact on the people who read it or who take it in. You know, if you've ever been to an art museum, you know, the pieces that you're drawn to, sometimes there's just pieces of artwork that you're just like, I don't know what it is, but it's that there's something vast about this.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going on with your books. And that's why it's so healing. But what did this journey do for you in your healing and your sexuality and expression, that triad that you're talking about with spirituality, sexuality, and healing?
I mean, one thing that I feel like it really validated in me was that I didn't need to fear either my creativity or my sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it was, I felt like it was validated through the process of writing this book that I, as much as I say that I was trying to show other women, you know, that they should be fearlessly authentic in their life and in their creativity and in their spirituality and all that, I was also speaking that to myself.
Yes.
So it gave me a lot of confidence. I knew after I've written them that, I mean, I just couldn't go back to being the person that I was before,
mm-hmm.
because I knew I kind of unlocked something, and not just unlocked it for myself, but just unlocked it for some kind of, I put a key into some kind of portal in the universe,
right.
You know, where these ideas, it's like when you invent the light bulb, now there's going to be other people inventing other light bulbs or better light bulbs or whatever.
Totally.
So I felt like this was kind of like a doorway or a pathway that people could walk through, you know?
Like you created a portal is what you did. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a portal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds very grandiose to say that, but I mean, well, fuck it. That's what it is.
That's just what it fucking is. Like, whatever. Yeah. Like, any, you know, yeah. Of course is what it is. And, you know, we get really, it's interesting. I've come across this in my spiritual experience and channeling experiences too. It's like, you'll understand the piece you played in something big, you know, mm-hmm. shifting some energy in a really big way. And then when you kind of, you could get it, and then you kind of come out of that channel space, like inhabiting the space with spirit, you come back into your human life and you'd be like, oh, that's, I can't say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can, because that's what happened.
Yeah. And it's not really the end of the dream of it for me, because I'm proud of it. Like, I'm proud of these books, and I'm proud of the story, and I'm proud of my mm-hmm. characters for living the lives in that they're living in these pages.
Yeah.
But also, you know that I have this dream that it's going to become a movie or a series.
And I was just going to ask you, so what's next for the Dark Pool trilogy, Monica? So, tell us your vision, lay it out for us, put it out into the universe. Everybody who listens to this mm-hmm. is going to affirm this for us too.
Thank you. So, you know, now that I've like had my mother wound book picked up by Hay House, I feel like I have, you know, I wrote a kick-ass proposal to make that happen. And now I feel like I have the ability to write a good proposal to some agent who can pick these books up for me and, you know, and bring that dream of, you know, seeing it on the screen, because I do feel like it's a big story. And I think that it has the potential to have a great effect on humanity. And not that I'm this incredibly special person, but I do feel like if spirit saw something in me that it was willing to channel this whole thing through, then, you know, then it's got to be something good. Because like, what would universe be doing fucking around sending me like
all those bugs? And those are thick bugs. Those are like legitimate bugs.
Nothing's gonna happen, you know.
I mean, like, whenever you talk about, like, so I'm just gonna put this out here in like in words and anchor this. What we're calling in for you and this incredible creative work, spiritual work, and healing work that is encased in these words, in these books. What we're calling in for you is, we're calling in I want to say like a handler, like someone who like yeah. calling in like a handler, like Monica Carlos, you talented bitch. Like we're going to take this out into the world for you. We're just going to fact test that. We're going for traditional publishing contract. We're going for movie deals. We're going for TV series. I mean, look at like the series Highlander. Mm. Highlander's got some real eroticism going on, right? Yeah. But not like this. Like you say, this is your own genre. It infuses spirituality, creativity, healing, all of that. And the world is ready for that because we're in a new paradigm. Like you wrote this book in an old paradigm. I mean, you were reaching, you know, and now we are in a new earth energy. We really are. We are settling in, and the world is ready for this. And you can see that we're ready for this because the pendulum is swinging so extremely in the arena of sexuality and gender and all of that is like, really, people are breaking free of their prisons, their normative prisons. Right. Mm. And I think that the world is really, if we're not ready yet, we're getting ready. And it's the timing is like, feels sweet for that. So anybody listening, let's affirm this for Monica, but for the collective, because you birthed something for the collective here.
I feel that.
It's so interesting, Monica. I got to say that we're doing this interview now and Pluto's about to change signs, right? Pluto's moving from Capricorn to Aquarius. And if you're an astrology buff and you're listening to this before, I think it's the 27th. I think it's moving March 27th, 2023. Like we're moving in. So Pluto is moving from my seventh house into my eighth house. Eighth house is the sexy house. So I'm looking at like 20 years of a sexual fucking revolution. I think that's my first. I look at that and I go, oh, we're going to get spicy in our lives. That was going to happen. So it's like, it's such a perfect timing to be talking about this and bringing this through and kind of bringing this more and more out into the world. And boy, if there's any other way that I can support you in getting this out, I'm excited, especially knowing like you are so special, Monica. It was so great to, you know, last time I interviewed you, we had not met in person, but we've been connected online for a long time. And then we got to meet in person at Beverly Hills at the Grammys. And I mean, as soon as I picked you up from the airport, it's just, I felt like we just kind of looked at each other and circled each other and went, oh, hi again. Like the energy was like, whoop, there it is, you know? So being as like intuitive and empathic as I am, I have a really good sense of energy when I meet people. And I mean, yours is just like, it's so grounded. And it's so loving and it's so real. And you are so fucking piercing. I mean, you're the kind of, like, you ask questions like, oh, okay. We're getting honest. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
So I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled, thrilled, thrilled to have you moving even further. And this is going to happen for you because the energy's already started with your Mother Wound book. And just to kind of recap, you know, Monica and I were at the Grammys DPA Music Lounge, which was an event right before the Grammys where we had nominees and winners and, you know, peripheral kind of workers from the Grammys, like journalists and producers, you know, all kinds of people coming in. And I got to read tarot cards for them, which was really fun. And Monica had her own table where she was showcasing, she'd been invited to showcase her book, Transforming the Mother Wound. And it was mind blowing. I was right in front of her. She was right behind me. So I got to listen in all day long to these really heavy hitters, like people who are very successful in their field, in their creative field, gushing at you about what an amazing thing you've done by writing this book, how everybody like understands the power of the mother relationship. Big grown ass men. This book was written for women, but grown ass men, you know, we got the musicians, we got the rappers, we got the, you know, they're all coming in, they're going, giving you hugs and Monica, Monica Little and talking, you know, I'm giving this to my sister, to my mother. Like I talk about their own mother's relationship. It's just like, oh my God, the world is ready. The world is ready. So that's the mother wound, which is a small piece of what you're doing. I think the bigger part, the bigger mission for you is this trilogy right here and whatever comes after this trilogy. Speaking of which, is anything coming? Anything else coming that we should know about?
Yes, I'm actually putting a new book together.
Tell us more.
It's ridiculous. I just can't stop writing.
Oh my God, I love it. Be ridiculous. Tell me what's ridiculous about. Tell me.
Anyway, first of all, thank you so much for what you just said there. It was so humbling and so empowering to meet all those people in Hollywood, and just, I don't know, it was just really humbling. But it was, and it was so amazing to meet you finally after all those years. Yeah, and it just felt like, okay, yeah, we're here, we're together.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, it's like we know each other, or been together our whole lives. Yeah.
But Elephant Journal has published about 350 of my articles over the years. Nice. And I'm putting together a book of my best articles about love, lust, and loss.
Oh. So, oh, baby. When can we expect that to be out?
I think I'm going to try have it out by summer solstice.
Oh, soon. Okay. Yeah. Can you tell people where they can find you so they can follow you to keep track of the debut of this next piece?
Yeah, it's just on monicacarlis.com, and it's Monica with a K and Carlis with a C.
Okay, monicacarlis.com, which will be linked in the description here as well. And then you're on all the socials, right?
I'm on all the socials.
All the socials. You can find Monica Carlis on all the socials. Pick your favorite one. I even got her on a TikTok.
I thought that would never happen.
I got her on TikTok because we were originally going to do the interview on TikTok, but it sort of didn't work out, but that's okay.
You kind of tricked me into that.
I didn't trick you. Those Scorpios are so suspicious, man. So yeah. Anything else you want to add about like this experience, this journey, anything else you want to say about this project and your work before we wrap up the interview?
I mean, I think that what I want to say basically is for people to trust their intuition and trust their own creativity. Mm. Because if people say, oh, I'm not creative or whatever, that's fucking bullshit. Everybody's creative. And if you're not creative, you know, at your desk writing something, you're creative in the bedroom, or you're creative in the way you take care of your family, or you're creative in some other area. Like, we're all just creators. We can't help it. We are creative energy.
Yeah.
I just want people to trust what's coming through, you know, trust their intuition, trust their psychic abilities, you know, trust when there's, you know, that little nudge that says this is something. If it's for you, pick it up, run with it.
And you know it's for you if you want to pick it up and run with it. Yeah. It's that simple. There's not some big, where's my permission? Am I, is this meant for me? It's not a big thing. It's just like, is that fun? If it's fun, it's yours. Go run with it. And even if two people pick up the same thing, it's going to be a different lens of perspective. Absolutely. It's going to come through differently and what's the word I'm looking for? Resonate. That's the word. Mm-hmm. Resonate with different people. There are 8 billion people on the planet. Yeah, everybody is going to hook in with one person. There's got to be a lot of us.
Yeah. And just like as an example of that, when I was writing my proposal for the Mother Wound book for Hay House, I noticed, because I had to like give them examples of other Mother Wound books, and I was like, oh fuck, everybody's writing Mother Wound. And I had to remember, because I had that moment of, oh, you know, I shouldn't do this because it's already been done. But the thing is, nobody else had done it like I was going to do it. Mm-mm. There was lots of therapists, a lot of psychiatrists, psychologists, coaches that had written about the mother wound, but I was a witch writing about the mother wound.
Right, right.
And that was a perspective that I know wasn't out there.
Yes.
So I just went for it. So you just gotta, you know, trust it. Trust your ability and what's coming through.
Yeah. 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 And it's so easy, you know, we get so caught up in like, well, how do I know? How do I know? You know, and we get all in our head about it. And it is just so, is it fun?
Yeah.
Does it seem like it'll be a good time? If it's going to be a good time, it's for you. It's that simple. Don't let your conditioning block you. Yeah. Do you want to do it? That's fucking beautiful, Monica Carlis. Thank you so much for your time, for showing up, for sharing your gifts with me, with us, with the world. You're just incredible. And I feel so privileged to know you and love you.
Thanks, Ingrid. I love you so much.
And I love you. And folks, thank you for tuning in for this interview with Monica Carlis. This is the Mystic Bitch Show. You can find links to resources for intuition development, links to Monica's Mother Wound book, her journal, and of course, each book in the Dark Pool trilogy. My God, please go get it. Please read this. Please, if you are all interested in channeling creativity, sexuality, spirituality, this amalgamation of yumminess is going to blow your ever-loving mind. And thank you for being the channel for it, Monica. I appreciate you so much. MonicaCarlos.com, folks. Hey, babe, do me a favor. Share this show out with anyone who you feel would benefit from being a part of this community. Remember to follow me on social media, on my Facebook page, facebook.com/IngridHTurnerSpirit, and my TikTok account, @IngridHTurner. And check out my spiritual and psychic development resources in my Stan store. That's stan.store/IngridHTurner. And you can learn more about me on my website, www.IngridHTurner.com. Big love to you, beloved. I will see you next time. Let it all, let it all.